disaster. Don't you give up, don't you let away. Talking about a forever after. Don't you give up, don't you dare give in. Don't you give up, don't you dare.
Greetings, friends, listeners, viewers, New Yorkers. Jack Tuckner and Deborah O'Rell here with you in the Women's Rights in the Workplace radio show on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Hope you're all doing well today. How are you, Deborah?
I'm fantastic.
Outstanding. Well, you're fantastic because we're very excited about our guest today.
Very excited about today.
And by the way, before I forget, the phone-in number to our show, get your pen or your smartphone out. It's 888-874-4888. Once again, 888-874-4888. We're very excited today because we have a guest in a few minutes on our show by the name of Sherry Lewand, who is the co-president of, and she co-founded, A Better Balance, which is an organization I believe, based in New York City, that has been instrumental in advocating, lobbying for, and getting enacted paid family leave laws around the country. Sick time laws, paid family leave laws, and we're going to talk about what a sort of disastrous system we have in place at this time in this country and what Sherry and her colleagues have done at A Better Balance to make our lives better, more, less stress-free, and everyone, the economy, businesses, small and large, benefit from paid sick time laws, and she will explain more about them. We have her on. We're very excited about that, and we're very excited in general about Sherry's work and what's happening and what she'll tell us about. But this week, tomorrow, April 1st, April Fool's Day, only it's not, we're not fooling. It's real. Tomorrow, New York City joins, I believe, only three other jurisdictions, municipalities, in the country. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm thinking of the paid family leave. But they're few and far between. We'll ask Sherry.
Yes, she'll tell us exactly
which states, which jurisdictions. It's certainly not federal law. Have paid sick time laws so that if you or a family member, a child, a spouse, a significant other, a grandparent is ill, are you able to take time off that's, number one, paid, and number two, protected, so that you don't get fired? You don't have to choose between going to work and having the money to pay your bills for your family, put food on your table, and taking care of your sick child. It's outrageous, of course, and it also makes, for all of us consumers, it exposes us to all manner of, you know, as a hypochondriac myself, going to a restaurant and seeing that, you know, our servers and the cooks and the chefs and the bartender, to this day in New York City, until tomorrow, many people can't call in sick without giving up a day's pay and the possibility, of course, of, you know, invoking the wrath of your employer, who'll fire you for calling in sick. So that changes tomorrow in New York City. 1.2 million workers that today are not covered will be covered tomorrow. It's not an entitlement. It's an earned paid sick time law. You put in a certain amount of time, you and your employer contribute to this pool, and you earn, I believe, up to 5 paid sick days per year.
40 hours.
40 hours of sick time. Not an enormous amount, but certainly better than nothing.
And for people who live paycheck to paycheck, who, you know, if they don't show up, they don't get paid.
Good
that's
deal.
This is important. And to that point, for anybody who watches Oprah, I am an Oprah fan, she had Maria Shriver on, and they did a special two-hour show.
Oprah off the air?
No, Oprah TV.
Oh, Oprah
TV. She has a whole channel.
Oh, okay.
And Maria Shriver did this report. She's got this organization. But HBO right now, and I think it started about 2 weeks ago, has been running this documentary called Paycheck to Paycheck, where they followed this woman, mostly, this woman, a single mother of two or three kids, how she worked, how she was putting it together, and they followed her. And there were you could see her when her child, one of the kids, wanted to go outside to play. And she said, no, it's all wet and muddy out there. I can't afford to have you get sick. And the kids knew, but it's okay, Mom, I won't get sick. Yeah, but if you get sick, I can't afford to stay home to take care of you. And you see the struggle she goes through, screwing up her, changing her schedule at the drop of a hat, all of this stuff. And these are all people who are working full time, supporting themselves, trying to take care of their families, and they don't have any fallback positions. And another one of the stories was a woman who is a social worker, so she works full-time as a social worker. Her husband works as a, you know, a carpenter, building kind of person, so the work is somewhat seasonal. They make just enough to pay their rent, they put food on their table, and they can pay their bills. But she said, we are one flat tire away from we're either going to fix the tire or we're going to pay the electric bill. And this is what, you know, our country is coming to. Or it's not coming to,
We're smack dab there.
So this is, the paid sick time is a significant improvement.
Right, it's pivotally important. We may be the last civilized nation, or at least a nation, forget about civilized nation, but a nation part of the sort of civilized, industrialized world. Exactly, to do better than we do in terms of providing paid leave for women bearing children and paid leave for people who simply can't work because of a temporary illness. And of course, the people who can't work for because of a temporary illness who aren't paid are those who are on the lower end of the power and the socioeconomic, you know, food chain, if you will.
The people Paul Ryan calls lazy.
That's right. Basically, 50% of us, if not more, in the United States. And you know what? Before Sherry calls in and we can discuss the new New York City paid sick time law and what it may mean for you or a loved one, the fact is that we in our law firm in Tuckner, Sipser, Weinstock, and Sipser, a women's rights in the workplace law firm, we represent employees typically with a we concentrate in women's issues. Women's issues in the workplace tend to be pregnancy discrimination, sexual harassment, gender pay disparity, FMLA issues, because women are the ones who typically stay home and have the maternity leave. And the women are the ones who need the disability leave after it just just bore a child, if that's the correct past
the
tense of bear.
Or the opportunity to take care of those kids once they come
and to
back
bond
to
with
work.
The exactly. And we don't have, what do we have? We have right now the Family and Medical Leave Act in the United States, and that act covers barely, you know, half of the people who need that leave when that time comes. It requires that you work for a company with at least 50 employees. There's a new pending state FMLA we'll talk about with Sherry, I hope, bill that does much better than that, and another pending federal legislation that does not require you jump through all of these various hoops. 50 employees, you've worked 12 months before you need the time off, before you have a baby, that you work full time, and the clincher, completely unpaid. Again, the only nation in the industrialized world of the 34 countries that comprise the so-called first world countries that does not pay women when they're out and can't work because they've had a baby.
Swaziland
and Papua New Guinea. Seriously, actually, Swaziland and Papua New Guinea are the other two that do not.
Right.
And that's it. Done. Every other, name the nation, name the country, and they provide paid maternity leave, in some nations up to a year or even 18 months paid leave. Truly civilized, what we would want for ourselves, do unto others.
That's really family values. That's
exactly
truly,
that's right,
respecting,
that's walking the talk
and honoring.
Right, that would be what Republicans, you'd think, should be standing up for when they're so sort of,
well,
you know
there are some Democrats who
absolutely all the blue dog Democrats that, and they're all
exactly so let's just call them all politicians, the people who aren't,
some deserve more of our ire than others.
Well,
and some
true.
Stand in the way, you know, of any progress in legislation strictly from an ideology that has nothing to do with their constituents' needs. But so many people are harmed, are screwed, don't have the time, can't take the time even to have a baby, and to properly care for that child without putting themselves in extreme exposure and risk to having further problems. You know, there are now, I guess Sherry would know this, upwards of 75,000 homeless people in New York City, and many of them are children. And that number has been growing. It's unprecedented. So even when people talk about we're climbing out of the recession, from our perspective and what we see people calling, we're sort of smack dab in the middle of it. And unfortunately, we seem to be heading towards a further precipice, perhaps another global depression that at least is predicted by my favorite prognosticators by 2016. I won't get as depressing as I did last week and talk about the end of civilization when we run out of food in 20, 30 years.
Because of global warming, I know.
Right, but we won't talk about that. But anyway, we're very excited to have Sherry on, and she will talk about both New York City paid sick time law and, again, hopefully the New York State Paid Family Leave Insurance Act that she and her colleagues were instrumental in bringing to bear. Let me see if they're telling me that there's Sherry on the line. Okay. So before she calls in, let's talk a little bit.
And the reason I really do want to see if hopefully there'll be time to touch on it is to give people the opportunity to learn what they can do to help get this the paid family leave pushed through.
Right. I mean, as in calling your congressperson. And
putting
it on Facebook, you know.
Exactly.
You know, we all say, I've done it, I say it in my own way. When we say, what will the difference? I'm going to make a call, just me. I'm going to call my congressperson like they care. Well, you know what? They do care. Certainly, if you have first of all, the Democrats tend to actually answer the phone. They have staffers that do. The Republicans don't. But just making your voice heard,
right,
signing a petition, putting it on Facebook, putting it out there. It's all about educating people, because you know what? 90% of Americans agree with these sort of progressive notions. It's really all about us and our family. People don't understand because they're not hearing it from the corporate media, typically. They don't really understand smoke and mirrors that sort of presented to them what's going on. You know, let's blame. Terrific. Sherry's on the line. Sherry, are you with us?
I am.
Outstanding. Happy to have you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me just tell our listeners a little bit about your bio, and you'll correct me if any of it is wrong. Sherry Lewent, is that the correct pronunciation?
That's right.
Co-president and co-founder of A Better Balance in 2005. From 2005 to 2006, she was an adjunct professor of law at CUNY School of Law, teaching an upper-level class on civil rights, alma mater, except about 20 years earlier. From 1996 until 2005, Sherry was a senior staff attorney at the National Organization for Women's Legal Defense and Education Fund, running the state advocacy project, working on issues intersecting women's rights and poverty, including reproductive health, violence, and child care. Prior to joining NOW Legal Defense Fund, Sherry spent 12 years as a senior staff attorney at the Welfare Law Center, a national legal organization doing litigation and public advocacy on a variety of income support issues around the country. Prior to that, she was a staff attorney at the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and an assistant United States attorney in the Southern District of New York. Very impressive. Sherry graduated summa cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa from Princeton University and from Columbia University School of Law. Not too shabby. She has three children and has served on the boards of Bank Street College of Education and Basic Trust Infant and Toddler Center. I wish I had a bio like that. That's beautiful. Welcome, Sherry. Thank you very much.
That's very kind. Thank you.
You're welcome. So can you just, congratulations on the new paid sick leave law that is effective tomorrow?
It is indeed. It goes into effect tomorrow. Workers all over the city can start, who don't have paid sick days, can start accruing that sick time tomorrow. The law does provide that there is a 120-day waiting period before it can be used.
Mm-hmm.
So actual use of the paid sick time won't be until July 30th.
Okay.
But the law is effective tomorrow.
But starting tomorrow, one accrues paid sick time.
Correct.
Okay.
One hour for every 30 hours worked. For all workers in the city who work in businesses with five or more workers, and that includes part-time workers as well.
Could you just tell our listeners, before we talk about the law, a little bit about your organization and what you do?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. A group of really women's rights lawyers in 2005 decided, and most of us had been, I guess, attorneys at Now Legal Defense and Education Fund, decided that the next great frontier for women's rights had to do with balancing work and family, mm-hmm. and that the way in which the issues had been talked about were more affecting things that affected upper-income women, and that in fact this is really a problem for women across the spectrum and men as well, and that our public policies just weren't keeping up with the fact that women are now in the workforce to stay and comprise about half the workforce, mm-hmm. And that in most families that are not single-parent families, both parents are working. And so there's nobody at home to take care of the children when they're sick. There is a need for paid family leave. There's a need to really address some of the gaps in our discrimination laws, both with respect to equal pay and protection of pregnant workers and protection of caregivers. So we founded, there were a group of us that founded A Better Balance, and we have expanded and have eight lawyers working with us right now, as well as some support staff. And we're working on the issues that we set out to work on: paid leave, discrimination, flexibility in the workplace, and we're looking at those issues both here in New York City, but we also work at the state level and around the country with coalitions that are trying to get laws passed that will improve the conditions that that men and women work under, both with respect to leave, minimum wage, and discrimination. So we're working on all kinds of levels, and we also have a clinic, and I want to really push that so that workers who are having problems in the workplace because of their need to balance work and family can come to us, and we will represent them. And we now have these two very strong laws: paid sick time, which goes into effect tomorrow, and an expanded pregnancy protection anti-discrimination law that went into effect in January here in New York City. So we stand ready to help anybody who wants to be helped.
How can people get in touch with the clinic? We'll say it again at the end, but tell our listeners now.
Yes, I mean, just a phone call. People can call us at A Better Balance, 212-430-5982, and there will be somebody on the line either to talk to them right then or return their call within 24 hours.
Okay, terrific. And what is the URL? Can you give the website?
Yeah, it's www.abetterbalance.org. So it's pretty easy to remember.
And with regard to those issues, what have you accomplished here and around the country thus far?
Well, I mean, we've been working since 2007, after San Francisco passed a paid sick days law, in jurisdictions throughout the country, and paid sick days laws have been passed in the state of Connecticut, as well as in Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Washington, D.C., and just recently last year in Jersey City and Newark, actually in January. And then we have campaigns that are very active and very likely to be successful in Massachusetts and in some of the localities in California, other than San Francisco, as well as in Minnesota and several other states and cities around the country. So we in addition to New York, but of course we, as New Yorkers, we always believe we are the best, and we are covering more people through our law here in New York than all the other laws really combined at this point in time. There will be 3.4 million workers who are covered tomorrow when the law goes into effect.
That's fabulous. 3.4 million new workers?
No, 1.2 million new workers who never had a day of sick time or any other time off before, But for the workforce of 3.4 million, I say that because advisedly, because a lot of people have, they have some sick time, but they can't use it for their families, or they can't use it for things like preventive care. I was just looking at a notice that Columbia University sent out, saying that they were changing their policy, and that even their, you know, their senior professional staff who had sick time weren't able to use it before for their families, weren't able to use it for preventive care, and they're changing that policy, as well as covering all the part-time workers and temporary workers that hadn't been covered at all before. So it affects everyone. And I just also, and you're a lawyer, Jack, so you know how important this is. It's now a law, so a lot of people who had paid sick time before were not guaranteed the paid sick time necessarily.
Exactly.
So now it's
exactly
a law.
Exactly, which is huge, right? I mean, that part of it is just forgetting about just whether I could take a day and get paid, or to not lose one's job, even if you had to give up that day of pay. It's a huge leap from just worrying about a day's pay to worrying about unemployment at these times. So
absolutely, and I think, you know, it was an eye opener, I think, to a lot of people who said, "Oh, nobody gets fired because they take a day off sick." But a lot of the people that we met during the 4 years we worked to get this law passed, they were, you know, who came to our rallies and spoke. They really, this story has brought tears to your eyes.
Sure.
People who were fired, and they said, you know, I would have brought a doctor's note in. I would have, you know, I would have shown I really hurt myself. I really had to go to the hospital.
Right.
And people losing their jobs.
But even beyond what you just said, I just want to stress this, beyond for yourself, which, oh, for instance, in New York, beside the paid sick time aspect of it, there'd still be potentially disability discrimination issues if you lost your job as a result of your physical or mental or emotional challenges, and the company didn't reasonably accommodate you, but you didn't have the protection for a loved one, right? I mean, isn't that where this expansion goes? So, and it's also, doesn't it expand well past not only you and your spouse and child, but to other extended family members?
Absolutely right. It covers parents and grandparents and siblings, which is the de Blasio expansion would also cover them, because that's what families are like in New York City and around the country now. They are more extended, and as we know, as our parents are aging, there are times when they really need our help.
Exactly.
So.
And for those who say, oh, how will you pay it? Another entitlement, that's what we're talking about. We need austerity, blah, blah, blah. How will this be paid for? This is earned time, is it not?
It's earned, you know, it is paid for by the businesses themselves, but it's a very small cost of doing business. We figured it was the equivalent of about a 25-cent raise in the minimum wage. It's not gonna cost a lot of money at all, for businesses to put this into effect. And we've kind of studied that and studied it, and it just is not going to be a large cost.
Has that been, you know, the cost of the program? Is that what the resistance is? Because it would seem to me, everything I've read, you know, 90-some, if not 100% of everybody would like this. What blocks it? What stops it?
It saves money at the end of the day, right?
Yes, I think so, in terms of retention and contagion and, you know, a better workplace for people. Absolutely. I mean, I think that business really is very resistant to government telling them what to do, and I think it's the government mandate aspect of it that really was a large part of the pushback, in addition to any cost. Yeah,
it's a good thing, but they won't do it. It's the right thing, but they won't do it. So the government, somebody has to come in and say, "Do this. It's the right thing."
Well,
yes, and I just in speaking to that, because so many people don't realize this, but 40% of the American workforce does not have a single sick day. So you're absolutely right. If everyone was voluntarily covered with sick time, then there wouldn't be the need for the laws. But that is not the case.
But also the pushback, I mean, I don't know how political, you know, one needs to get from your position, or whether you ever do, but the fact is the resistance coming from sort of, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and its sort of enablers, right? You're talking about, it's sort of like they're fine with you know, subsidies for big business. Again, back to big business, corporations and the wealthy. It's just when it comes to supporting working families, you know, individuals, labor, minimum wage, things that are shown, of course, to increase. If you raise the minimum wage, all boats would rise through more demand, more taxes, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. people who earn less money pay basically 100% of, I mean, it all goes back into the economy. So, but there's that constant.
Unlike the tax benefits for the wealthy that simply go into their pocket.
Well, you know, to the Cayman Islands, et cetera. Okay. Well, so far, though, you've been, the headway that you and A Better Balance has been making is substantial because these are sea changes, right? I mean, this is huge tomorrow. Huge.
Yeah,
cause for celebration.
It is. Totally huge. And we're very excited. And it did take a lot of people working very hard to get this done. I wasn't kidding. I mean, New York is it's a city that people look to. And so the fact that we're doing it,
great.
And hopefully we'll be doing it successfully, it's really, you know, kind of a life to everyone, to all these campaigns around the country to try to get things done in their own localities. And there is a federal bill to give paid sick time to all American workers. It's been stalled in Congress because everything's been stalled.
The usual suspects.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
understood.
Yeah.
Now, is that bill, what is the name of that bill if people want to look that up?
It's called the Healthy Families Act. Mm-hmm. Senator Ted Kennedy sponsored it when he was alive. It's been in Congress for quite some time now, and it's currently sponsored by Senator Harkin in the Senate and Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro in the House. And you know, it just it's one of those things that, like the minimum wage when it started in the in the 30s, we're hoping that all of these cities and states that are doing paid sick days requirements. Will also be a beacon to the federal government that this is really fine, that it's going to work, and that they can do it on a national level.
And I suppose sort of also akin to marriage equality, once there's a certain amount of momentum, critical mass that's reached.
Tipping point.
The tipping point, it starts to, you know, your mobilization becomes, there's more momentum, right?
Exactly.
And that's what's sort of happening now.
And
that's great. Now, with regard to the particulars of this law, can you just tell us, talk a little bit about what it really means as a practical matter in terms of how much time do you get, how long it takes to accrue it, what's the maximum, and then what happens when you feel that there's been a violation of that law? What do you do to enforce that or complain?
Yeah, so it's you earn 1 hour for every 30 hours worked, as I said, and the reason that we're writing these laws that way is to ensure that everyone is eligible, that you don't have some arbitrary cutoff for saying somebody's part-time and so doesn't get benefits. So everybody accrues 1 hour for every 30. And there's up to a maximum of 40 hours or 5 days of paid sick time.
Per year?
Per year.
Is it per calendar year?
It's up to the business to determine what the year will be.
Okay.
Because some businesses operate on a fiscal year that's different from the calendar year.
Okay.
And that made that concession. And so it's up to the business in terms of what year.
And is there carryover?
There's carryover of 5 days of 40 hours.
But it never exceeds that.
But it never exceeds that, exactly.
Okay, I see. But I'm sorry, so if you have not used it, you still go into the new year with your accrued 40 hours, perhaps.
Exactly.
Use it or lose it.
That's right. And so that way you never, if you still have some left from 1 year, then you're not without time when you start the new year.
Was that a concession? I'm just real curious because it does seem ultimately like a fairly modest amount of time, while it's wonderful. Was that cap part of the negotiations, or is that always, is it throughout in the other jurisdictions that have paid sick leave, is it roughly, like I know in the federal law, I believe they're talking about up to seven days. Is that not true?
Yeah. No, that is true. You're right. And San Francisco has 9 days for larger businesses and five days for smaller businesses, and that's what we started out with in New York City.
Okay.
That definitely was part of the negotiation.
Okay.
We
negotiated
this last year, really, with the speaker, who was very much you know, was really not enthusiastic about this bill, to say the least. So, but we really did want to get it done, and that was negotiation. Mm-hmm.
And an employer who wishes to already does provide more time. Obviously, they still can do that.
Of course, and the law is very clear about that. In fact, okay. People are encouraged to do more.
Okay. And so where does one go beside to a better balance with questions or complaints about this to actually complain formally that your company has been perhaps denying you paid sick time starting tomorrow?
Yeah, the Department of Consumer Affairs is the designated city agency that will be taking complaints, and we've met with them. They're very enthusiastic about enforcing the law. A good deal of money has been appropriated to them, and they're hiring a really significant team to take complaints and to do investigations, and they have the authority under the law to undertake investigations themselves, even if there's not a formal complaint.
Mm-hmm.
So people should really think of them as an ally in trying to make sure that this law is working the way it's supposed to.
Outstanding. And do you know what are the remedies?
Well, at the moment, I mean, that was another negotiated thing that we lost, which was the private right of action.
Okay.
You can't go to court
mm-hmm.
directly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the agency first. But there, we have a pretty robust set of fines that can be paid over to the worker if there are violations, ranging from $500 to $2,500. And in addition, there are fines to the city on top of that for violations. So, you know, there is I think there's a pretty good system of really penalizing mm-hmm. employers if they do the wrong thing.
When you mentioned that they have to go to the agency first, that there's no private right of action, is that filing with the Department of Consumer Affairs an administrative prerequisite to an ultimate filing?
Yes. I mean, you can still bring an Article 78 or after your administrative process is over, if you're not satisfied, you can still go to court at that point.
But as an Article 78, not as you would go in, let's say, you know, equivalent to going in under the New York City human rights law and filing in state Supreme Court a lawsuit.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
Got
correct.
It.
It's
Got
just
it.
A challenge to the agency, actually.
Got it. Okay, terrific. What else would we like to talk about with regard to this terrific new paid sick time law?
Well, I just want everybody to know they are also entitled, actually, and I think I hope employers know this and will do this, because there are fines connected with not doing it. But everyone is supposed to receive a notice. All workers in New York are supposed to receive a notice, and it's on the Department of Consumer Affairs website, stating your rights under the new act. That's supposed to be done within the first month by May 1st, in other words. So all workers should be getting that notice that really outlines what their rights are.
And what about the size of the business? You know, that's a huge issue, and maybe we'll talk about, if we have time, you wish to talk about the other pending, the Paid Family Act in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
But is there, you know, like we're always dealing with, under the federal FMLA, the notion that it covers less than half of the women who should be covered under it. 50 employees,
mm-hmm.
you have to work 12 months, you have to work full time, and it's unpaid to boot. What are the prerequisites? I heard you mentioned 5 employees. Is that the minimum number needed to catalyze this coverage of paid sick time?
Yes. I mean, I just want to be clear. Everybody is protected against being fired, against retaliation. There's a
protection. Okay.
The retaliation applies regardless of the size of your business.
One employee business?
Yes.
Terrific. Okay.
And it also applies to domestic workers. I just want to add that.
So one's sole come to your house au pair or babysitter.
Yep.
She's covered.
She's covered. Actually, she's covered also with paid time, 2 days of paid time, in addition to what the state gives domestic workers. The state gives them 3 days of paid time, and so this city law gives them now 2 additional days. This is domestic workers. Other than domestic workers, if you are in a business or in the employ of an employer who employs 5 or more, 5 is the big Five is the number.
Five
or more employees, you're entitled to paid sick time. Pay for each one of those 40 hours in addition to the non-retaliation provisions. So that should cover, that really should cover most workers in New York City.
I would think. But for, again, for the tiny mom and pop under that, not just domestic workers, for anyone who works for an organization with three or four employees, they are not required to pay you at all, but they cannot fire you for taking sick time now.
That's correct.
Excellent. Okay. Again, huge, huge sea change. Well, that's terrific. Congratulations again on getting on as a career. You know, this is a career. You've had a career that I look at and say, in fact, I'd want for my own daughters as an attorney, and as an attorney who, of course, could have done, Sherry, anything you wanted to do with your stellar background, to be working for, you know, the least empowered among us, to actually be making a difference. Your legacy is something that, you know, you could be proud of. You know that you're actually helping people. And how many attorneys get to say that? Not too many. I'll answer
that
question.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Well, it's true. Is there are we in a position to talk a little bit about the state? And is that part of your work? The
yep.
state. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about then the Paid Family Leave Insurance Act.
Okay. Well, we're trying. That's our next. That's our next great battle. Not that it hasn't been going on for the last 12 years, but. We have a program, as you know, in the state that provides temporary disability insurance to individuals if mm-hmm. they are temporarily disabled. The benefit level on that is very low at
yes,
this point
because
it hasn't been raised since 1988.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're trying to trying to raise that benefit as well.
$170 a week.
$170 a week. Correct. Right. Correct. But we're also trying to expand the TDI program to cover basically what's covered under the FMLA, which is a new child in the family or a seriously ill family member, and that would apply to everybody. It would be financed through very small employee deductions from employee paychecks,
mm-hmm.
And it would go into the state insurance fund. So it wouldn't cost business anything. It wouldn't cost employers a dime. But it would enable workers to take up to 12 weeks is what our proposal is to take care of family members, to take care of a new baby or
any size business.
And that the TDI program applies to all businesses any size, and this program, since it would piggyback on that, would also apply to everybody. There's no other way, because it's an insurance program and because everybody's paying in, there's no way to slice and dice it so that you're cutting out some businesses.
Well, that's
people
good for our team, right? I mean, that's all good. So the fact is, and there's also then with the other FMLA that I mentioned, those other sort of bars to coverage, they don't exist beside. There is no minimum number of employees. Forget 50. There's one is enough. There's also no requirement that one works full time as part time employees as well.
That's correct.
And you could work there a week and be covered if you.
That's also correct. Yes.
That's terrific. I guess the one little chink in the armor, if you will, is that also this does. I think I read that unlike the proposed federal Family Act, I think that this benefit is also fairly modest, as is the disability benefit.
No, we have provision in the the Family Act actually has a higher benefit level than we have right now for TDI, but our proposal would raise both TDI and family care in terms of it would tie it to the average the statewide average weekly wage, and it would go up gradually for the next 4 years until it hit 50% of that.
And what is the average weekly wage?
Well, that would it would be $350 dollars a week in the first year. It would go up to $585.
But is the statewide average weekly wage five and change? What is the statewide average weekly
that's,
wage?
It's higher than that. I mean, that's the percentage.
Oh, so that was the 50%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not.
Well, it's better. Let's put it
better.
That way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think California, which also has a paid family leave and TDI program, they pay up to $1,000. We're a little behind.
Right. I think it's also the Family Acts. I believe, isn't that the $1,000 a week is the proposed cap?
Yes. Yes, that's a proposal.
So what is the status of the New York State Family Leave Act, Paid Family Leave Act?
Well, our bill passed the state assembly a few weeks ago. So the assembly has passed a 12-week
they've done in the past
bill
as well, though.
With benefits going up the way I just described. So the problem is really the state Senate. And the Independent Democratic Caucus, which holds the balance of power in the Senate at the moment, has been very much in favor of this. And they tried to put it in the budget. That was their proposal, to have the general revenue pay for it in the first year and then have some kind of payroll deductions after that. But I don't believe, and the budget is, I think, being signed either tonight or tomorrow morning, but paid family leave did not make it into the budget. So there is a same-as bill in the Senate that is the same as the bill the Assembly passed. The IDC, the Independent Democratic Caucus, has proposed a bill as well, but that was tied to the budget. So we'll be talking to them, and you know, I don't think the Senate will probably pass a bill as robust as the one we've just passed in the Assembly, but it's possible that there may be support, enough support in the Senate, since the IDC is in favor of it. And it's an election year, and these are very popular issues. People really, you know, they think that this is a good thing. And people, we were trying to convince our legislators that they can run on this as a positive. So
we all know, Sherry, I mean, what can people do? We know that legislators, even those who might not be otherwise inclined to vote for a bill like this, do listen to their constituents. They do. And what can people do? Can they call their legislator? What would be helpful to get behind this New York bill? Is there anything people can do?
Definitely let your legislators know that you support this. And come to our website. I mean, we will be, now that the budget is done, because there was a little bit of hope that it might have had done, but, you know, gotten done that way. We're gonna go into full gear to try to get this at least to get it on people's radar screen, for this year, and try to show our legislators that this is something that's very, very popular with people. And so there will be events, there will be letter writing campaigns, we will be doing a lot of actions, and so we'll keep you posted, and you should definitely come to our website and keep in touch. And there we have a coalition of a lot of groups, and we will be doing lobby days in Albany as well. So
people go to abetterbalance.org. They can sign up for a newsletter, stay informed.
Yes, absolutely.
Terrific.
Right.
Terrific. And a note from reading, I think, your release earlier before you got on the phone. Is it California, New Jersey, and Rhode Island that are the three states that already have the Paid Family Leave Act?
That's right. And they're the ones that have the temporary disability insurance programs. There are only five states with temporary disability insurance programs. It's those three, New York, and Hawaii is the fifth. So, it's almost a no-brainer. We're also trying to get these programs passed in Wisconsin and Colorado. We have a couple of other states and Washington State. But the problem in those places is that there is no existing program, and getting a state to set up a whole new program is very difficult. Here in New York, we have a program, as they did in these other states that have enacted it. It won't cost almost anything administratively. It won't cost employers anything. It's very cheap in terms of what it'll cost workers. So it's almost like a no-brainer.
A no-brainer, and difficult to oppose it with a straight face. And on a federal level, is your organization involved in the Family Act or any?
Yes, we are. I mean, the organizations in Washington are they're in a more strategic place in terms of that, National Partnership for Women and Families and the Center for Law and Social Policy have been leading the charge, but we are definitely involved. We helped to draft it, and we're all partners in these efforts.
And where are we? Can you just tell us a little bit what that would provide over and above the current, you know, coverage that I mentioned that I consider to be problematic? In fact, you know what? I'll tell you this. I don't know if you hear stories like this. We have in our office regularly, and there was a, I think it was about a year ago, 2 years ago, there seemed to be a spate of cases that we had where women would call us and say that their employer said to them when they notified the employer that they were pregnant that, you know what, you know, congratulations, Mazel Tov, that's wonderful, you know, we have, what is he, naming the baby, everything's wonderful, and then they look up their start date, and the HR person says to her, the baby's due January 6th? You'll have only been here for 10, 11 months when that baby is born. Yes, what's your point? Well, I'm afraid, and this isn't our fault, Google this, the FMLA doesn't apply. Well, what does that mean? What it means is you're not covered by the FMLA. Yes, what does that mean? It means that you have no, how much sick time do you have accrued, right? And the person says, well, I've been here 10 months. How much could I have? And the woman, the HR woman says, well, you have 5 days. Are you going to be able to have a baby and come back on the sixth day? The answer is obvious. And they then essentially fool the women through using the FMLA into resigning, where they make them even give up their unemployment benefits as a result. It's awful. So, and we've had this, litigated this several times, using the FMLA against women by simply saying it doesn't cover you and not explaining that perhaps Title VII and the state laws that most states have will also protect women on the basis of sex and or pregnancy. So, you know, the FMLA leaves a lot to be desired. Where does the Family Act fill some of those gaps in coverage?
Well, I have to say, they don't fill a lot of the gaps in coverage in terms of what you're talking about, because there's no job protection under the Family Act. What it is a mechanism for providing some support for a parent or someone who has to take care of a family member, so the same category as FMLA, but it's through the Social Security system. And so it's really the Social Security Act and the eligibility requirements, et cetera, in the Social Security Act that are the key there. So if you qualify for Social Security, you would qualify for benefits under the Family Act.
Oh, I see.
So it has, in some sense, nothing to do with the FMLA, really.
Oh,
so,
I see.
You know, so in terms of what you're talking about and the need to expand the FMLA so that it covers businesses of less than 50 employees, so that it kicks in sooner than a year, or you know, that 1,200 hours of work that you need to do before you can be covered. It doesn't really do that. It's just that it's tied to a different set of eligibility standards,
so that I must,
which is Social Security.
So I must be
Security disability. I should be clear on that.
Which is another reason why it should be a no-brainer in terms of the system is already there. You know,
exactly.
But I thought so. I'm conflating issues. Probably there isn't any this proposed the Family Act doesn't have a less, you know, that it doesn't matter how many employees the company employs and that everyone is qualified, forgetting about enforcement now and whether or not it's protection. Who does it apply to?
No, it does apply. It apply. The size of your business doesn't matter, as it doesn't matter for Social Security.
Nor how long you've worked there.
But I think you do need a certain number of quarters of coverage, and so I think you would have to have worked there, I think, for at least 6 months. So it's better than the FMLA.
And does it also provide some remuneration?
Yeah, that's the point. It will give you money. It will as a disability payment would give you money for your own disability. This will give you money to take care of your new child or a seriously ill family member.
But if you terminated in the middle of that leave, except for unless you were also FMLA qualified, if you were to have a case, as our clients always ask us, it would only be because you have either a disability discrimination or a sexual discrimination case. There is no remedy under the proposed Family Act?
That's correct. There's no job protection.
Why
so
is that?
The FMLA provides you with job protection and no money.
Right.
This would protect, would provide you with money, okay. But no job protection.
Okay, we're getting closer.
they work hand in hand.
So for some lucky people, they might be covered by both, but then for some unlucky people, they wouldn't be covered by one or the other. So it just, yeah.
Okay. But we also have, of course, the problem of, you know, of Congress, anyway, before
you
this.
You do. I mean, this is a fight, I think, we're talking about. the people who are really trying to drive this, we are really talking about 5 years. We're not talking about this happening tomorrow. We feel like the New York State paid family leave program should happen tomorrow because there is job protection actually in the bill that passed the assembly. And we just feel very strongly that there's just no reason not to pass it. And we've been trying to for a number of years. And we feel like these issues have really bubbled to the surface and this should be the year.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Sherry Lewin, for the work that you do. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners or promote? I will tell Sherry, it's Sherry Lewin at A Better Balance. Again, for those who...
abetterbalance.org.
The phone number is 212-430-5982. Again.
And I do recommend signing up for the newsletter. I've been on the list for a number of years and always find some helpful piece of information in there. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. That's great. That's great to know. And I just, we have staffed up in terms of, to represent people who might be having problems with their sick leave or again with pregnancy discrimination claims under the new law, but mostly with the sick leave. So please, if you are having any problems, even if it's just a question, give us a call.
Excellent. And you say you've staffed up just to answer questions, or do you also provide sort of a mechanism?
No, we have lawyers here. So we definitely can take complaints.
That probably won't
happen for a little while, but we can certainly represent people.
Oh, you will?
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
That's important, and I'm glad that came up, because I know even back in the day when we used to sort of partner with certain issues with Now LEDF, you mostly didn't take sort of cases. At least that's my recollection.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. No, we're not. I mean, we operate on many different levels, national, state, and local, and we do a lot of policy work and a lot of legislative work, but we also have a clinic, and we actually have specific grant to represent people who need representation and getting their paid sick days done properly. And so we are available, and we would love to help anybody who needs help.
Would you tell our viewers, our listeners, where that clinic is?
Yeah, well, the clinic is here, and we partner with Outen and Golden, which is a law firm in the city. But really, it's us. And mostly we're taking we have a day a week, but we will take calls at any time, and
okay.
So
but it's not a walk-in.
The best thing to do is to call the hotline, and we will get back to you. And we do have a caseload, and are happy to represent
Excellent.
People on paid sick days.
And finally, for tomorrow, any festivities that where you'll be tomorrow? Really,
getting
we'll be...
sick?
No, I know. We should be having a really big party. The thing is, there've been so many events. The new mayor really wanted to have this issue be his own, and so there was a huge deal when he announced that he was going to amend it to extend it to smaller businesses, and then he signed the bill a week and a half ago, and that was a big deal.
Yes.
So I think we're tired.
Okay.
I think they're tired, but we'll get information out tomorrow to all our lists and everybody, but we're thinking maybe we'll have a party when people can actually use the leave on July 30th. But
okay,
people should know they should be accruing it starting
right.
tomorrow.
Thank you. So you won't be speaking anywhere tomorrow that we want to notify people, or there's nothing going on that you're aware
not
of?
Not that I'm aware of,
okay.
No. And I think it's probably because I've talked to some press people. I think not, no.
That's
so, yeah. So, but I really appreciate the chance to talk about this today on your show. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
For the work you do. And thank you very much. I hope our paths will cross again. And in the meantime, on behalf of our listeners and our clients and many other uncovered New Yorkers, thank you. We're very grateful for the work you do. We celebrate together. And have an outstanding evening and the rest of your week. Jerry?
Bye.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well,
I knew that was going to be great.
Sherry was great.
She was great. I love this group. I'm telling you, I love everything.
A Better Balance.org. Yes.
Yeah.
I've been told we have 4 minutes.
Yeah, and in the 4 minutes, I'm equally as excited about our guest next week. Maybe you want to talk about Dan O'Donnell.
Yes, next week we have Assembly Member Daniel J. O'Donnell. Very excited to have him here. It's a New York State Assembly Member, a Congressperson, Daniel O'Donnell. is the first openly gay man elected to the New York State Assembly, and he's been a progressive voice advocating fair and sensible legislation since he was elected to represent the 69th District about 12 years ago. Well, not about. It was in 2002. His district includes Manhattan Valley, Morningside Heights, and the Upper West Side. Daniel was born in Queens and raised with his four siblings in Commack, Long Island. He put himself through college and law school, earning a B.A. in public affairs with from George Washington University and a law degree from CUNY Law School. CUNY Law School again. Where
CUNY in the service of human needs.
Law in the service of human needs. In fact, Daniel graduated the same time that I did. We were classmates together, and that was the same law school where Sherry taught for a couple of years, our last guest. After 7 years as a public defender at the Legal Aid Society, my old job, Daniel
in the Bronx,
he opened his own, well, Daniel was in Brooklyn, he opened his own public interest law firm on the Upper West Side. His community practice helped clients with tenant representation as well as civil rights litigation ranging from employment discrimination to First Amendment rights. During his tenure in the Assembly, Daniel has been the prime sponsor of several trailblazing bills that we'll be speaking about with him next week, most notably the Marriage Equality Act, a bill O'Donnell led to passage in the Assembly five times. He was the first, remember, openly gay man elected in 2002. He took five hits at the bat, five attempts before it was finally signed into law in June 2011. And he was also the prime sponsor of New York's anti-bullying legislation.
Okay, that's my thing too.
It's Deborah's thing. It's an issue near and dear to our heart, and we'll be talking with him about bullying in the workplace, something that's essentially uncovered now.
Completely, and right. People call with these issues.
His bullying had to do with the students. In fact, it's the Dignity for All Students Act, which requires public schools in New York to combat bias-based bullying and harassment. And I believe that after finally the Marriage Equality Act passed in New York, Daniel was married to his longtime significant other, and it was attended. It was a wedding by I don't remember how many hundreds of people, including our governor, Andrew Cuomo. And he was someone
who was a real who's who
at his wedding, and we're thrilled to have him next week. So we hope that you join us then.
Yes.
And in the meantime, have a strong and powerful week. And we will keep you abreast, as we always do, of ongoing issues in labor employment that will affect you and your family members, and hopefully, you know, at the same time, maybe give you a little lift to your day. From Jack Tuckner and Deborah Orell, Tuckner, Sipser, Weinstock, and Sipser, the women's rights in the workplace advocates, you could reach us at www.womensrightsny.com, womensrightsny.com. And our phone number is 212-766-9100, 212-766-9100. Call us with any questions. We'll see you next time. Ciao.